Mainly the reason being that we are struggling to sell is that currently the forecourts, the garages in the country where the fuel is sold, face a logistical problem in that they only have two underground fuel tanks in 90% of the garages throughout the country, which means they are holding diesel and petrol as the two products that they're selling. If they were to take on the blend or the E10 product, they require the infrastructure to hold that third product at their forecourts, which would amount to large volumes of money, which now very, very few of the forecourt owners actually have to be able to put that infrastructure in place. So what it means for us at the end of the day is that there's only a limited number of garages under current legislation where they are not forced to blend with local products. They are selling the normal products into the market, being diesel and petrol. In terms of the mandatory blending and why we believe that is the way forward, as in the past, and we believe it should be happening now, we have a local product which is cheaper than product coming into the country that can subsidize the price of fuel, particularly petroleum products in Zimbabwe. But the government hasn't seen fit to bring in this mandatory blending, and therefore we faced with this challenge of the logistics and the garages. And also, if the mandatory blending was to come in, it would be simple enough for the E10 to take the replacement of the gasoline tanks and therefore could be distributed throughout the country. But because that hasn't happened, our product is not reaching the market, basically.
Now, it seems as if your ethanol is being sold at $1.10 compared to international prices. Why is it that you've got such expensive ethanol in Zimbabwe?
Okay, well, point of correction there. We're actually selling our ethanol at $1 a litre. Our cost of production is $1.10. We have already discounted it by the 10 cents a litre to make it more attractive. In terms of competitively pricing it with ethanol that's available on the market, what you must understand is that the international price that is quoted is the price collected at distillery, which means it still has to be transported to the point of sale. And you've got to add on those costs. And you'll find that that comes to very much the same sort of figure. Our biggest problem that we have is that we've built a new plant and we've developed this whole project in a matter of 18 months. We have huge capital in expenditure to recover, and that's basically what makes the difference on that price, as opposed to ethanol plants operating, for instance, in Brazil, where they have been for some time and they've recouped the majority of their capital already.
And in terms of vehicle conversions, have you committed yourselves to actually doing that kind of thing?
No, we would be very keen to do that, and we have stated that as such publicly that we will be interested and will ensure that we can do the conversions for vehicles. But once again, the challenge we're facing is that to make it worthwhile to do that, we need to be going to sort of an 85% blend or 50% blend, which at this stage is not going to happen. But as soon as it does happen, we are more than comfortable and able to do the conversions to the vehicles.
What is the percentage that you're using right now in blending fuel with ethanol?
It's 10% is what has been licensed in the country. There's a bit of misunderstanding here, because a lot of the fuel, the gasoline that's coming into the country, is coming in already blended with ethanol, because it's a low-grade gasoline with a low octane level, and it's been blended by the supply companies. All the gasoline coming into the country is coming in already blended, although albeit at a very low rate of approximately 3%, some more, some less. So when our 10% is added to it locally, it means that in reality the end user is purchasing a product, although it's advertised at E10, that's what 10% has been blended locally, and it's also in addition to that is the foreign content.
Now, looking at the government resistance, so to speak, to actually take you on board in terms of coming with some regulations, what are you then going to do to this ethanol, which is in large quantities? Why not export it?
We are looking at the export market right now. We're faced with a challenge in that the project was initially approved by government. We were given national project status for the project to go ahead, and we were given the assurance at the startup that the mandatory blending would be put in place to ensure that the project would succeed. So we had not pursued the export option. We have subsequent, and while we've been having this issue of trying to sell our product, engaged export markets, and we've had a favorable response. Unfortunately, one of the things about this is that if we do this, it's going to tie us into long-term contracts, which means Zimbabwe itself is going to lose out on the benefits that could be used from having the ethanol. Be that as it may, we're still going to pursue the export markets, and come close to finalization. When we have got the agreement basically in place waiting for signing, we will then go back to government to get a final position from them. And if they are not going to bring a mandatory binning, we're going to have no option but to export.
Finally, are you actually cooperating with the interministerial committee that is looking into your problems?
Very much so. We've got a couple of files worth of documentary evidence and proof of what has been submitted to them. There is nothing that they have requested that has not been given to them, contrary to what has been stated in the press.